Hello, welcome to your daily briefing. July the 17th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We're grateful for what you've been teaching us day by day, and for our hearts have become strengthened by your word. We ask that you would give us the understanding necessary so that we might be obedient to all that we are hearing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share a chapter with you from Testimonies Volume 5, Chapter 56. I think it's relevant because of where we are heading and the importance of what is happening around us each day. And the title of the chapter is Behavior in the House of God. Behavior in the House of God. Now the book is Testimonies Volume 5, and we're going to go through some of chapter 56, and we will begin at page 491 and paragraph 1. That would be Testimonies Volume 5, page 491, paragraph 1. To the humble believing soul, the house of God on earth is the gate of heaven. The song of praise, the prayer, the words spoken by Christ's representatives are God's appointed agencies to prepare a people for the church above, for that loftier worship into which there can enter nothing that defileth. From the sacredness which was attached to the earthly sanctuary, Christians may learn how they should regard the place where the Lord meets with his people. There has been a great change, not for the better, but for the worse, in the habits and customs of the people in reference to religious worship. The precious, the sacred things which connect us with God are fast losing their hold upon our minds and hearts, and are being brought down to the level of common things. The reverence which the people had anciently for the sanctuary, where they met with God in sacred service, has largely passed away. Nevertheless, God himself gave the order of his service, exalting it high above everything of a temporal nature. The house is the sanctuary for the family, and the closet or the grove, the most retired place for the individual worship. But the church is the sanctuary for the congregation. There should be rules in regard to the time, the place, and the manner of worshiping. Nothing that is sacred, nothing that pertains to the worship of God, should be treated with carelessness or indifference. In order that men may do their best work in showing forth the praises of God, their associations must be such as will keep the sacred distinct from the common in their minds. Those who have broad ideas, noble thoughts, and aspirations are those who have associations that strengthen all thoughts of divine things. Happy are those who have a sanctuary, be it high or low, in the city or among the rugged mountain caves, in the lowly cabin, or in the wilderness. If it is the best they can secure for the Master, he will hallow the place with his presence, and it will be holy unto the Lord of hosts. When the worshippers enter the place of living and meeting, they should do so with decorum, passing quietly to their seats. If there is a stove in the room, it is not proper to crowd about it in an indolent, careless attitude. Common talking, whispering, and laughing should not be permitted in the house of worship, either before or after the service. Ardent, active piety should characterize the worshipers. If some have to wait a few minutes before the meeting begins, let them maintain a true spirit of devotion by silent meditation, keeping the heart uplifted to God in prayer, that the service may be of a special benefit to their own hearts and lead to the conviction and conversion of other souls. They should remember that heavenly messengers are in the house. We all lose much sweet communion with God by our restlessness, by not encouraging moments of reflection and prayer. The spiritual condition needs to be often reviewed and the mind and heart drawn toward the Son of Righteousness. If when the people come into the house of worship, they have genuine reverence for the Lord and hear in mind that they are in His presence, there will be a sweet eloquence in silence. The whispering and laughing and talking, which might be without sin in a common business, should find no sanction in the house where God is worshipped. The mind should be prepared to hear the word of God, that it may have due weight and suitable impression upon the heart. When the minister enters, it should be with dignified, solemn walking. He should bow down in silent prayer as soon as he steps into the pulpit and earnestly ask help of God. What an impression this will make! There will be solemnity and awe upon the people. Their minister is communing with God. He is committing himself to God before he dares to stand before the people. Solemnity rests upon all, and angels of God are brought very near. Every one of the congregation also who fears God should with bowed heads unite in silent prayer with him that God may grace the meeting with the presence and give power to his truth proclaimed from human lips. When the meeting is opened by prayer, every knee should bow in the presence of the Holy One, and every heart should ascend to God in silent invocation. Holy ones, holy prayers should ascend to the Holy One of God in quiet respect, so that he might indeed speak to each heart individually. The prayers of faithful worshipers will be heard, and the ministry of the word will prove effectual. The lifeless attitude of the worshipers in the house of God is one great reason why the ministry is not more productive of good. The melody of song, poured forth from many hearts in clear, distinct utterance, is one of God's instrumentalities in the work of saving souls. All the service should be conducted with solemnity and awe, as if in the visible presence of the Master of Assemblies. When the word is spoken, you should remember, brethren, that you are listening to the voice of God through His delegated servant. Listen attentively. Sleep not for one instant, because by this slumber you may lose the very words that you need most, the very words which, if heeded, would save your feet from straying into wrong paths. Satan and his angels are busy creating a paralyzed condition of the senses, so that cautious warnings and reproofs should not be heard, or if heard, that they should not take effect upon the heart and reform the life. Sometimes a little child may be so attracted with the things around him that he might attract the attention of the hearers, that the precious seed does not fall into good ground and bring forth good fruit. Sometimes young men and women have so little reverence for the house and worship of God that they keep up a continual communication with each other during the sermon. So they see the angels of God looking upon them and marking their doing, they would be filled with shame, with abhorrence of themselves. God wants attentive hearers. It was when men slept that Satan sowed his tears. When the benediction is pronounced, all should still be quiet, as if fearful of losing the peace of Christ. Let all pass out without jostling or loud talking, feeling that they are in the presence of God, that His eye is resting upon them, and that they should act as his visible presence is near. Let there be no stopping to visit or to gossip, thus blocking up the aisles so that others cannot pass out. The precincts of the church should be invested with sacred reverence. It should not be made a place to meet old friends and visit and introduce common thoughts and worldly business transactions. These should be left outside the church. God and angels have been dishonored by the careless, noisy laughing and shuffling of feet heard in some places. Parents, elevate the standard of Christianity in the minds of your children. Help them to weave Jesus into their experience. Teach them to have the highest reverence for the house of God and to understand that when they enter the Lord's house, it should be with hearts that are softened and subdued by such thoughts as these. God is here. This is his house. I must have pure thoughts and a holiest motives. I must have no pride, no envy, no jealousy, or evil surmising, no hatred or deception in my heart, for I am coming into the presence of the Holy God. This is the place where God meets with and blesses his people. The high and lowly one who inhabiteth eternity looks upon me, searches my heart, and reads the most secret thoughts and acts of my life. Brethren, will you not devote a little thought to this subject and notice how you conduct yourselves in the house of God and what efforts you are making by precept and example to cultivate reverence in your children? Your role, vast responsibilities upon the preacher, and hold him accountable for the souls of your children. But you do not sense your own responsibility as parents and as instructors, and like Abraham, you do not command your household after you, that they may keep the statutes of the Lord. Your sons and daughters are corrupted by your own example and lacks precepts. And notwithstanding this lack of domestic training, you expect the minister to counteract your daily work and accomplish the wonderful achievement of training their hearts and lives to virtue and piety. After the minister has done all that he can for the church by faithful, affectionate admonition, patient discipline, and fervent prayer to reclaim and save the soul, yet it is not successful because the fathers and mothers often blame him because their children are not converted, when it may be because of their own neglect. The burden rests with the parents. And will they take up the work that God has entrusted to them and with fidelity perform it? Will they move onward and upward, working in a humble, patient, persevering way to reach the exalted standard themselves and to bring their children up with themselves? No wonder our churches are feeble and do have that deep, earnest piety in their borders that they should have. They do not have those borders or present habits or customs which dishonor God and bring the sacred and heavenly down to the level of the common are against us. We have a sacred testing, sanctifying truth. And if our habits and the practices are not in accordance with the truth, we are sinners against great light and are proportionately guilty. It will be far more tolerable for the heathen in that day than for us. A much greater work might be done than we are now doing in reflecting the light of truth. God respects us to bear great fruit. He expects greater zeal and faithfulness, more affectionate and earnest efforts by the individual members of the church for their neighbors and for those who are out of Christ. Parents must begin their work on a high plane of action. All who name the name of Christ must put on the whole armor and entreat, warn, and seek to win souls from sin. Lead all you can to listen to the truth in the house of God. We must do much more than we are doing to snatch souls from the burning. It is too true that reverence for the house of God has become almost extinct. Sacred things and places are not discerned. The holy and exalted are not appreciated. Is there not a cause for the want of fervent piety in our families? Is it not because of the high standard of religion that has left us in such a trail of the dust that causes us the disturbance and the discomfort that we have in our homes? God gave rules to order. He gave perfect examples. He showed us the way that we should go. Has His character changed? No, it has not. Is He not the great and mighty God who rules in the heaven of heavens? Would it not be well for us often to read the directions given by God Himself to the Hebrews, that we may have the light of the glorious truth shining upon us and intimidating us from error and from sin? We have abundant reason to maintain a fervent, devoted spirit in the worship of God. We have reason even to be more thoughtful and reverential in our worship than had the Jews. But as enemies have been at work to destroy our faith in the sacredness of the Christian worship, we have allowed ourselves to be passed over and distracted. The place dedicated to God should not be a room where worldly business is transacted. If the children assemble to worship God in a room that is in need during the week for a school or a storeroom, they will be more than human if, mingled with their devotional thoughts, they do not always have thoughts of their studies or of things that have happened during the week. The education and training of the youth should be of a character that would exalt sacred things and encourage pure devotion for God in His house. Many who profess to be children of the Heavenly King have no true appreciation of the sacredness of eternal life. Nearly all need to be taught how to conduct themselves in the house of God. Parents should not only teach, but command their children to enter the sanctuary with sobriety and reverence. The moral taste of the worshipers in God's holy sanctuary must be elevated, refined, sanctified. This matter has been sadly neglected. Its importance has been overlooked, and as a result, disorder and irreverence have become prevalent, and God has been dishonored. When the leaders in the church, ministers and people, fathers and mothers, have not had elevated views of the matter, what could be expected of the inexperienced children? They are too often found in groups, away from the parents, who should have charge of them. Notwithstanding they are in the presence of God, and His eye is looking upon them, they are light and trifling, they whisper and laugh, are careless, irreverent, and inattentive. They are seldom instructed that the minister is God's ambassador, that the message he brings is one of God's appointed agencies in the salvation of souls, and that to all who have life or death must indeed listen to that word. The dedicated, committed servant of God will continue to do the work that he is called to do. But those of us who sit in the congregation and listen to that word must also dedicate our lives to God so that we might follow the truth as it is in Jesus. The delicate and susceptible minds of the youth obtain their estimate of the labors of God's servants by the way their parents treat the matter. Many heads of families make the service a subject of criticism at home, approving a few things and condemning others. Thus, the message of God to men is criticized and questioned and made a subject of levity. What impressions are thus made upon the young by these careless, irreverent remarks, the books of heaven alone will reveal. The children see and understand that these things very much quickly happens to them, and it changes their view of church entirely. Their moral senses receive a strong bias that time will never fully change. The parents mourn over the hardness of heart in their children and the difficulty in arousing their moral sensibility to answer to the claims of God. But the books of heaven record and trace with unerring pen the true cause. The parents were unconverted. They were not in harmony with heaven or with heaven's work. Their low, common ideas of the sacredness of the ministry and of the sanctuary of God were woven into the education of their children. It is a question whether anyone who has for years been under this blighting influence of home instruction will ever have a sensitive reverence and high regard for God's ministry. Wow. I wish you would take some time and read this. I'm not halfway through, but I thought I would share this with you today. The whole concept of worshiping and how we worship and what is our respect level as we worship, as we enter into the church of God. This is worth your review. And I would suggest that you take an opportunity to take a look at it. Make sure that you see clearly what it is that God is telling us that we must do here. Remember, our subject today is very simple, very clear, and very encouraging, but it's also a serious rebuke. Behavior in the House of God, taken from Testimonies, Volume 5, Chapter 56, beginning at page 491 and paragraph 1. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the instruction given today. We thank you for the reminder that you have given also, that we must worship according to your will and be respectful for the place in which we worship. We thank you in advance for all that you will continue to do for us. And we ask that you would help us to demonstrate to our children and to those who are around us the kind of respect that is necessary in reverence, in worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, July the 17th, 2021.